Welcome to Seriously Awkward.
Welcome again to the Seriously Awkward podcast and friends. We'll be doing a little bit more on the Uber and Lyft today, talking about what's going on in that world. For the people out there that don't know, that's what I do to make a living at this point in my life. So I decided to get a little bit involved with the community. There's a lot of different things that are going on nowadays where there's a lot of changes that are happening, and there's it's affecting the community in all different ways. So the more information I can get out there, the better. We can be informed, and if we need to make decisions on certain things or if we need to try to change things, then we have the opportunity to do it. If people don't know anything about it, then nobody's going to do anything about it. And then we're just like, oh, that happened, apparently. So we will have a normal Nate and I conversation next podcast, where we will talk about what's coming up the next year. And I think we have some more challenges that we were going to do. So we'll stay tuned for that, because I think Nate wants to do the hot chocolate challenge. Not hot as in chocolate, but as in like the spicy chocolate that's, I don't know, it's red hot pepper challenge, and I want to do the chip challenge, so we'll see what happens with that. Anyways, so let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about Uber and Lyft. I have two people on the podcast today. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, this is Jackie back again. Thanks for having me again. So you guys know a little bit of my story. I started with rideshare back in 2013 with Lyft in LA. And when I moved to Seattle in 2015, I had signed up with Uber, and that kept me pretty much busy. And it was better for me, being a super, super part-time driver. I could easily get on Uber. With Lyft, it just wasn't making me – I was just too busy with Uber anyways. And I never, I was always frustrated with not being able to meet up their, the bonus, because I didn't drive enough. So I always think that Lyft is more for like more of a full-time driver, and, Uber is flexible for both. Anyways, but I co-founded, Drive Forward, and am currently, the engagement director there. So my job is literally just to talk to the gig workers in the great community and just keep an ear about what's concerning them. And I also advocate on their behalf with local leaders and influencing policies and laws that affect the gig community. So, David, thanks again for having us. And with me today, I invited James Lockhart, who is a part of Drive Forward as well. So, James, thank you for being here, and can you introduce yourself?
Thank you. I've been doing rideshare, I guess, going on 5 years now. I enjoy it. It's the way that I earn an income. I enjoy just being my own boss, having my freedom, and that's about it.
I mean, there's not much more to say. The reason why most people do the Uber and Lyft is to have the lifestyle. They want to be able to make money on their own time, have the lifestyle that they want. Usually we all live kind of chaotic lives, and this allows us to make money in our chaotic lives on our time that we have available to us. And it gives us an opportunity. And programs like Drive Forward, all these programs allow the community to kind of connect and interact with each other, because other than that, I don't really interact with other drivers. I don't really, they can't really give me too many tips or tricks, I guess, because everybody's thing is independent and they kind of do their own thing. There is some tips and tricks that you can get by figuring out where not to drive or areas where you're going to do better and stuff like that. But I don't know. That's just my thing. So we have a lot of information that has been coming out. So we had recently Seattle voted in some new rules and regulations. And also, if anybody remembers for the last podcast, or we'll just kind of catch people up for if you didn't listen to it, there was also a vote in California. Can we talk a little bit about the California thing, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Seattle? Jackie, do you want to take that over?
Yeah, sure. So the California thing that you're bringing up was called Prop 22. And really that was a response to AB 5, which was a bill that basically was attempting to rewrite how to classify employees versus independent contractors, aka gig workers. So there was this like ABC test. There's been iterations of it before, but they were basically making it so a large part of, through across every industry, independent contractors were going to be classified as employees, and that included rideshare drivers. Now, a lot of independent contractors, like hairstylists, doctors, consultants and everything, they were able to file exemptions from AB5 because AB5 did go into effect. So it is a part of California law that this is the litmus test of how you classify employee versus independent contractor. Now, because rideshare wasn't given the exemption, I believe DoorDash was included too, but definitely Postmates and Uber and Lyft came together in a campaign and in a response to this AB5 with Prop 22. And Prop 22 is essentially, it's a compromise, and it did pass, so it is going into effect. Now, Prop 22 basically said, the litmus test, the ABC test, does not apply to rideshare drivers. A vote for Prop 22 says, independent contractors like these want to stay independent contractors and do not want to be classified as employees. Packaged in with that is a sort of a benefits package. So a compromise. So there's a pay standard, and there's a way to get health benefits or whatnot. But if you look up Prop 22 California and their benefits, anybody can read like what exactly it offered. But it offered some benefits so that working as an independent contractor, you have to like get your own health care and you don't have a 401k or whatever. Some of those things have been answered in Prop 22, just as to say, hey, you can be an independent contractor and we can find a way to get some sort of benefits to you. Here's a start. So really Prop 22 is a start to that conversation, which, is a nice tee up to portable benefits, something that Drive Forward has been trying to work on for a few seasons, I should say. In Washington, and that's really just to have, no matter what platform you're on, no matter what kind of gig work that you do or independent contractor you do, you have these benefits that can move with you, essentially saying you remain autonomous on your own to do the work that you want to do, but you have a series of the answer to your kind of 401k and health and dental and vision and all that sort of stuff. Insurances or whatever. So that's what passed in California is Prop 22. It's the start of that conversation, and it's coming to Washington at some point, and it's and it's going to spread throughout the nation is the expectation.
Okay. Yeah, so the reason why I wanted to bring up California in the first place is because a lot of times things are passed somewhere in a different state, and then it can affect basically the entire state of how everything is operated in all other states, because states kind of look at each other and go, well, is this going to work out or is this not going to work out, and what are people going to do? And hopefully the problem I have is a lot of times they don't side with the people who are actually, like, it drove me crazy that they were trying to tell us how we are supposed to live our lives. Like, I have to drive. They wanted me to be an employee. I don't want to be an employee. I've been an employee with other companies. I don't like to have to punch into a job at a certain time and punch out. I've been, we've had the conversation before where I was denied vacation time, even though I gave them 3 months advance. And if I want to go on vacation, I want to go on vacation. If I save up enough money, that's my decision. That's what I got to do. So there's a group of people that think they know what we want, and it's very frustrating to go, no, this is not what we want. I even hear it on the radio a lot, where I've even texted in them a few times where they say, well, this is what they want, obviously. And I'm like, no, that's not what we want. It's not at all what we want. So how would that – so the prop is going to come – it's basically – it went through in California, and then now it's going to be in Washington. Is there any changes to it, or is it what's the plan for all that?
So basically, since Prop 22 passed, and it's just, you know, it doesn't take immediate effect. Everyone else is just watching to see, okay, well, how is this going to work out? So while they wait for that, you know, the conversation starters, like Drive Forward, is starting that conversation or making sure to participate in the conversation here in Washington. And in other states, are, you know, hopefully they have groups that are doing similar work, is starting that conversation, because, of course, with the delay that I can see we all expect is because of the pandemic, our government has a lot to answer. So are they going to take on this Prop 22 style kind of legislation in 2021? We're not sure. It's possible that they don't. Certainly not. We really don't expect it to happen early on in 2021. But, you know, if vaccines come out and, you know, we're getting back to normal on the last half of the year, maybe in the fall, they, you know, somebody takes it up, sponsors some sort of like Prop 22 type bill or an opposition to it. For that matter, it's probably going to start with that versus the latter, but or the former, but we'll see. So right now we're just talking to, you know, whoever has ears and office time to take us into their Zoom and say, hey, you know, we know this, the people have spoken in California. They want this. This is possible. So let's get ahead of it and move in that direction together.
Okay.
So that's where it is now. Yeah.
All right. It's a slow process. Everything's a slow process at this point.
Yeah, a lot of patience is required, especially nowadays. That doesn't mean that we need to like snooze on it. And this is why I'm glad that you're willing to talk about it, because, you know, James has been there with Drive Forward in the beginning, and James, you can talk about the opposition will come at you from from out of nowhere, seemingly. And, you know, we've been in a position where we're like, oh, we're just reacting to what they've already done. We want to be in a place where we're being proactive. So,
yeah, I agree. A couple of things, you know, one thing is too many people, few people want to tell the majority of people how to live and what to do. And I don't agree with that. And just because someone's doing something in one state doesn't mean, okay, let's see what they're doing. If it looks like it works, let's do it here, because it's all different dynamics, different climate, everything is different. And everybody wants it, and this is just my opinion, is they want to have the new improved widget. So whatever that California does, then Washington says, oh, they did 19 points, so let's do 21, because, you know, we're Washington, we can do that. Let's add more drama to already dramatized situation that they're putting us in, because I don't think they think these things through, AKA New York and the thing that they did. They don't think it all the way through. Is you got a few people, these legislators, government, saying, oh, I think we should do this. Or what about this? Let's do it. And they don't know the impact that it has on us at this level, as far as now you're taking away my freedom, the opportunity to make money. You're taking away the freedom of the people who don't have vehicles, who can now no longer afford rideshare, because you've added all these extras to it, to where now the prices go up, then who's going to feel the effect? The consumer. So that's my spiel on that.
Right. Right. So why you bring that up? Let's talk a little bit about that. With all the stuff that's going on and some of the new regulations that are passed in Seattle, for the next year, going forward, they're talking about increasing what your rides are going to cost. And my worry about all that is I do a lot of, when I do rides, I do a lot of people rides to work, and it's young people or old people or everything in between that are trying to get to work at a reasonable, because they can't afford a car, or they don't want a car, or some of them, you know, there's a lot of things in between. Maybe they got a DUI or something like that, and they can't drive right now. So a lot of people rely on the price that they have. And so some of the changes that they want to make are going to increase the rate to the money's got to come from somewhere. So you can't just say, I want money and people need money for this. Money's got to come from somewhere. So where does it always come from? It comes from the people that use the services. Some people, it's not going to make a difference to them. Doesn't really matter. But the people that I'm worried about are the people that they are going to their $15 an hour job. They work 5 hours a day. They don't even get full 8 hours. And or the people that are just using it to go down to the laundromat or something like that. It's crazy how much things are going to change in price, let alone the new prices that they want to do for airport pickup. That is not even included into everything like that. They want to, I think it's like 65%. They want to increase the price for that. It's something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but
it might be like a $10. I mean, we're looking at probably like a dollar amount of $10 round trip. A couple drop off in fees.
Right.
So, huge jump. You're talking about price sensitivity, and that's with anything, and especially nowadays. I mean, there are a lot of people that haven't really suffered financially, you know? But then there's a good amount of people that have, and that goes immediately towards this very same community, the gig workers.
Right.
Because the work is on demand. And for a lot of drivers, I mean,
you're on the road, right?
Yeah.
David?
Yeah.
Yeah. How has the demand been for you? Or, and how have you adjusted?
No, it's fine. It's a conversation. That's the whole point of this. So what I noticed is that there's not as many rides right now, and the other thing I noticed is that, since there's not as many rides, that means, less people are out there that want things. So also there's less drivers on the road for this time frame. So I find that I am having to drive instead of maybe 5-7 minutes to go pick somebody up. It's like 10, 15, 20 minutes to pick somebody up. And a lot of those people don't want to go far. They want to go down to the local store or something like that. It's like a 5-10 minute trip. And I almost lose money sometimes picking some of these people up. But I know if I stick to it, that with, you know, Uber Eats and some of the other stuff in between, it equals out. I just have to drive a little bit longer in the day to, I have a price point where I want to go to, and it just takes me a little bit longer to get there. I always get there. Well, 95% of the time I get there.
Yeah, those are good odds. I mean, I know, James, you're back on the road too, right? Are you doing more delivery too?
Or well, it,
are you like
50, it, 50 it varies. For the most part now, I'm finding more dropping people off, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, early mornings. Deliveries are throughout the day. There's not a whole lot of people movement during the daytime anymore. You know, go figure. The thing, it does take longer to make the money that we were making prior to all of this. So you have to be willing to stay out there. And all I do is I drive. If I pick somebody up, I drop them off, find a nice spot, just sit and wait. Sometimes, you know, I'll wait 15, 20 minutes before you get the next ride. The deliveries, once you get on a roll with that, you know, you can have back-to-back deliveries, but they don't pay as much. And again, like we were talking earlier, the deliveries, you know, you go, you know, 10, 15 minutes for $5. And it adds up at the end of the day. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'd rather be more productive than that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's expected, right? Demand's going to be low. And one thing you're going to have with Fair Share, which, you know, Drive Forward, we were fully supportive of, is the minimum compensation standard. So this creates like, this just makes sure that you at least get minimum wage for the time that you're on. There's some qualifying factors on there. So you can't just, you shouldn't be able to just sit in anywhere where you know it's not busy and expect to collect your minimum wage. They need to be able to qualify some activity. But those rules, haven't actually been written yet. So it's going to go into effect. It'll be good for.
So wait, they passed something that there's no rules for?
Yeah.
is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
So they went, let's go do this, but we have no idea how we're going to do this, or we don't have a plan to do this, but we're going to do this. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
You know,
best plan is no plan, I guess.
No, it's not. That's not true at all.
For instance, Jackie, you had mentioned that they're saying, oh, you just can't go to an area that is not busy and sit and expect to get paid, correct? Is it?
That's the idea.
But here's the thing. If you don't determine how we as drivers, how are we to know what areas are busy after we drop somebody off? Now, if I'm in one area and they say, oh, you need to go 45 minutes over there where it's busy or we're not going to pay you. That makes no sense. By the time you get over there, it may not be as busy as they thought it was before, like when they had surge. You know, a lot of people were, you know, losing their head chasing surge. I didn't chase surge. I let it come to me. But I'm just saying they can't qualify that, oh, it's not busy, so we're not paying you, because they don't know for a fact who's going to be calling them next, what area is going to be busy. Because if they had that down to a science, right, then they would only have X amount of drivers on the road at that particular time to supply the demand. So what's going to end up happening, like they did in New York, right, they're going to restrict drivers from coming on the platform.
You're right. Yeah, that's very, very possible. And so, yeah, they haven't figured out exactly how that's going to work out. I mean, of course, you know, the companies will be the ones that have to answer the demands of the city of Seattle. This is a, you know, a Seattle thing. To further complicate things, because this is law in Seattle, it's a tax, essentially, right? Fair share is a tax. It only applies to rides that are in and around Seattle. So if you're coming from the airport and you have a ride to Bellevue, none of that fare is applicable to fair share standards. But if you are going from the airport and you're going through Seattle because you're going up to Shoreline or Marysville, wherever, part of the drive, the ride does apply. So they're going to, the companies have to figure that out too, which, you know, is resources, it's money. It's more costly for the companies to create this technology that, you know, everything that this rideshare companies have, all the code that they've written, mind you, these are code that have never been made ever before. They're creating it as they go.
Right.
So sometimes you experience lags, right, with your app, and people get all fired up. Well, just understand, like, human beings are coding this thing, and this is code that's never been written before. So this is more code that has never been written before, with a lot of restrictions and, like, parameters and, like, that they got to figure out. So we'll see.
Yeah,
that's all going to play out.
It's been very confusing and very frustrating because they are rewriting code and stuff as it goes. And there's been a few times in the last Friday where the app just stopped working.
Yes.
And I was able to pick up people and it wouldn't give me their route. Like, I was able to drop them off because I can follow a map. But it didn't give me any information on where to I could pick somebody up, but it also didn't pay me for doing that. So I got rides that I didn't get paid for in that whole thing because the app went down in the process. And so it's a frustrating thing, but I was frustrated at the moment, but at the same time, I'm thinking of the person that's getting yelled at that time at the oh shoot moment when he realized what code he did, and then they had to probably refresh from an old thing and back up everything and redo the code or look for the code or just refigure the whole situation. So made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know it should work out. You know, if they will always make sure to make you whole. I mean, that's your contract. So if you haven't yet done it, you know, for anybody that's listening that's in the same pickle, first thing is you shut down the app, uninstall, reinstall, restart your phone. It's just about like kind of like connecting, and these updates do happen. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't all jive together. Start there and then go into your help or go to help.uber.com, I think it is. And then for Lyft, they have their customer service too, where you can go to the Lyft Hub because the Lyft hub is open in Seattle, and they'll make you whole. They just need to be made aware, and they'll probably say, yeah, we know. And
yeah,
I've been watching that as it's my job to, like, listen to, you know, the community talking about that. And some people are like, you know, ratings, you know, 48, 72 hours. And that becomes like fuel, you know, on the other side where, you know, our opposition here that's saying, you see, these companies don't care. They're stealing our wages and everything. You know, this is technology that's never been written before. You know, you are running a business. You should be on top of your business. If you own a store and your cash register, you know, pooped out, you know, you have a number to call. You have customer service to say, hey, come fix my cash register, or else I can't take payments from people, or I can't track it and do my accounting right. You know, there's a maintenance that you have to do with your business. And it's, you know, I say it's the same thing. But, you know, going back to, fair share, this is going to further complicate things. So anticipate, you know, app delays and things like that as they're trying to, you know, meet the demands of the city. The city that is basically kind of dictating how the rest of the state works out. So I'm going to bring up that, you know, we want to bring in like the rest of the neighborhood, so to speak, in on the conversation, because Seattle's making these changes and it's not directly affecting the greater community. And if you know anything about living in, you know, in and around Seattle, and doing gig work, or if you're just, you know, even if you're an employee, a lot of us supposedly middle class folks and below can't afford to live in Seattle. So we don't even live in Seattle. So when, you know, you're talking about driving to where the demand is, like what James brought up, well, yeah, what if you're living in, I don't know, Des Moines? And then they're going to tell you that demand is in, you know, around UW. You know, that might be very well a 45-minute ride. And it's not where you were going to start. What if you start in Des Moines and you get pulled down at Tacoma? Yeah. You know, who knows? But, and then now you're even further away from where the demand is. So how they're going to qualify that, this will be a really interesting process. We do have members that are, you know, gig workers that have been invited to be a part of the rulemaking process. Best believe that our opposition in this whole situation, they have their people in the rules making process already kind of like seats reserved for them. We're having to fight tooth and nail to make sure that we have a, you know, that our people have a seat in this process so that they can understand what it's like, you know, get a better picture of what it's like to be on the road and how to think about these things, just because of the few things that we brought up in this conversation.
Yeah. One of the things down in the Tacoma area, it gets quite busy, but your earnings is lower than what it is in Seattle. And so you're driving more, you're making money, but you're driving a lot more to make the money that you would in Seattle on less drives. And the other point, I think government, if it's not a life and death situation, they should have a 2-year, let's see if this rule, let's look at it for 2 years to see if it's efficient enough. Does it work for everybody before they make it a law? They're so quick to slap something down on you. And like you said, they don't know the right from the left. They don't know if it works or not. They're just saying, oh, this looks good, so let's do it. And then they never retract what they done messed up, because you got to write another law in order to fix the one that they did. So if they would just take their time and bring all the players to the table and get in everybody's, you know, viewpoint. I know it takes time, but that's how you serve the people. You don't just go by a small minority of people and say, oh, they speak for everybody, because there's nobody who speaks for me. You know, there's no leader that speaks for me. If you want my opinion, you ask me. So if you want to know if your decision on making these rules, what California's done, what New York has done, is a good idea, ask me, just like every individual, everybody should have an opinion, if a voice, if you're a part of it. They should not just say, oh, they don't know or whatever. You know, ask the community, as far as the drivers, as well as the consumer.
Yeah, well, that would be nice if they did that. But the problem with politics is it's a slow process, and it's meant to be a slow process. There's supposed to be a lot of things in your way, so everything goes slow and everything is done right. The problem with nowadays is that we like the instant gratification. We want the thing right away. We want our food instantly. So we want to do these laws like right away before we have a chance to do a study on them, ask the right people about it. We just want there's an issue here. I want the pat on the back. And so then I can move on to the next thing. So, keep moving forward. It's the new thing of, if we just keep moving forward no matter what, there's no point of really, let's do a study. Let's look down the road and see what the actual impact of this is going to be. We're going to do this because it's going to make us feel better about the people. And also it helps the interest of our specialized groups, the unions in this area that want to get their hands into everything. And it's frustrating from a driver's point of view, where you're like, I don't want your union. I don't trust you. And you don't have my best interests at heart. And also, you didn't ask me. You asked you went and you searched out the people that couldn't barely speak English and that were struggling to make it in this industry, and you didn't ask them anything about, did they get any support? Did they ask anybody about what they're going to do? Even small things like not driving for the surge is a huge thing, because when I first started driving, you see the surge come up and you're like, oh, there's another $5 or $6 if I get a ride over in that area. And you spend time driving to that other area, and every time I go there, it's gone before I even get there, or it disappears as I'm getting closer to it. So just drive in your area. Drive in the area where you were already making money, because that's where you're going to make money. If you get something that goes to that area, that's great. You're more likely to get bonuses in the area that you're at, instead of driving out of the way to get to a spot that, by the time you get there, it's most likely gone. And
yeah, because it's a proportion, right? You know, surges, and people don't really think about that, is it's especially when you're new, no one tells you this, you know, because you're, being that you're not an employee, that's the thing, is you got to read your own manual of your own business. There's no training like employees get. So that right there is a huge difference of why we're not employees. But you come to learn that it's a proportion. If you see that they're just giving you an idea. They're doing the best they can, and say, hey, we end up having a lot of like requests over here. But if a lot of drivers go to the same area, the proportion of supply and demand changes. Right. So the surge disappears. And, you know, they have to be able to entice you to say, like, yeah, we are so hopped up on, demand over here that, you know, we'll give you a bonus just to, like, meet this demand, because obviously it makes everybody get paid at the end of the day. And that simple explanation is something that, like, you know, the mayor's office, that, you know, James was one of these, one of our representatives that spoke, in the mayor's office and said, this is how it works. And they said, oh, they didn't understand.
Right.
They didn't understand. But that's how it worked. They were just saying, oh, they just take it away. And it's like, wait,
right.
That's right. You know, politics is slow because it is a conversation. But what's interesting, I don't know if it's exactly so, because certainly during the pandemic, what Seattle has done, and, you know, for good intent, for sure, you know, the hazard pay, the paid sick leave, those are things that are available to the gig workers right now. in Seattle. And that went really quick. So things do tend to happen really quick when it gets pushed there. Now, but going back to James's point and what your point too, David, is, but what's the repercussions of that now? Because the hazard pay came in, and you know, then the company's paid sick leave, and the money, like you said, David, money has to come from somewhere. So is it a surprise to the community that the demand is going down? I mean, yes, there's other factors too. It isn't simply just those things, but think about it. You added a fee. The company is not going to be able to, like, you know, sustain this and not pass it forward. And Seattle says, well, you don't have to pass it to the customers. You have billions of dollars. You could pay for this fee out of your own pockets. I don't think that they have run a multi-billion-dollar company before.
My problem is, I don't think they've run a taco stand before. that's the problem I have, is there's this illusion out there that, okay, all these big companies have all this money. No, it's allocated to something else. And it's also allocated to the growth of the company. And if you just say, well, you have $1 billion, well, technically, they don't even have $1 billion. It's all locked up into a whole bunch of other things. And it's not, most of the money is not accessible. Unless you basically sell most of the company. It's my thing against, I think minimum wage is a good thing, but the problem is it always has to increase. And then I used to work for a barbecue restaurant company. I was one of the cooks there. I did everything there. And my boss would come to me and he says, you know, I'm for paying more people, higher raise, but guess what happens? The food has to go up because I can't afford it. Because they said I can afford this, but if anybody has ever run a restaurant, their bottom line is thin. It's very thin. And
especially in Seattle.
Especially in Seattle and all over the place, but their line is very thin. And then you go and say, well, you can afford $15 an hour. Well, okay, I will pay them $15 an hour, but my $10 burger meal needs to cost $12. And that's how it affects everything. As minimum wage goes up, everything else has to rise around it to reach that. Because the money doesn't just come from nowhere. It has to come from somewhere. And it comes from the customer. And and it's very frustrating.
To that note, I think there was a restaurateur in Seattle that, and I'm going to forget his name, pardon that, but unfortunately he had to close down a lot of his restaurants, but he's a big restaurateur in Seattle, and he was one of the first to implement that $15 an hour, and he did, you know, he figured out a model, you know, he figured out, well, if basically it's mandatory tips.
Right.
And, you know, some people had to do that, but yeah, but bottom line is, and people got it and go, okay, well, I voted for this or that makes sense. And so I will pay more. But of course, if you, let's say, you know, I'll put myself out there, somebody that's in the middle where I'm like, well, that's just a little bit more than I can afford, you know, that might be a luxury, you know, restaurant that I go to, but I get it. I'm all for it, but I can't afford it. You know, I think that's a mentality of what a lot of people, historically, you know, behave, and that's how they're going to behave with rideshare. That's the anticipation. So we're going to wait. That's what they're waiting to see, is does demand actually really go down? Mayor Durkin had this quote that, well, you know, this is in Seattle is full of tech people. They can afford it. And that's true. They can.
Right, but that is a horrible philosophy. That is a horrible philosophy. Only the rich can afford it, is basically what she's saying.
Well, most of the tech,
right?
Sure.
Isn't that what exactly she's saying? Is basically, you know, people that are wealthy can afford it, and basically everybody else, well, tough to be you. Sorry.
Yeah, but most of the tech people live downtown anyway, and they work downtown, so they don't really have a long commute. And when they had pool, most of those tech people that make all that money, they were using pool.
So, you know, they're going to, they're not going to spend all their money. And the other thing, too, I don't agree with mandatory tipping. And here's why. Just because I come to your restaurant, I shouldn't have to tip if I don't get the service that I want.
I 100% agree with that.
I don't like people trying to control and tell me what to do, especially with my money. No, if I didn't get the service, the food wasn't that great, I'm not going to give you a tip. A tip is because you went above and beyond the service. Right. And most of the small businesses, restaurants in Seattle and the surrounding areas have closed their doors after 30, 40 years because of this COVID. Nobody is making money. They're not doing it, and there's no, the government is not helping. It's like this stimulus packet, okay? Been out of work for 3 months. Here's $1,000. Good luck.
Well, $1,000 will last you 9 months. That's a lot of top ramen there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we laugh, but it is really serious stuff. Or, I mean, you know, it's because mac it's and true, cheese, right? Yeah.
Mac and cheese, top ramen.
Okay, how you gonna pay?
That'll last.
Pay rent. How you gonna pay rent?
Oh no, I'm not gonna pay rent. I'm gonna. You know, there's free rent on the side of the road anywhere in Seattle.
Sad.
Anyways, whatever. I don't want to get too deep into this because it is a deep rabbit hole that we can go down to. I do want to, since there is, I did hear a little while ago, we were talking about that there is a vaccination that is out. Want to kind of get into that and how it affects drivers or may affect drivers or we'll see. Anyways, take it away.
Well, it was something that I was thinking about some time ago, you know, I mean, this whole thing about vaccinations and who it's going to go to, like, and then as soon as it, of course, was apparent in media that it was going to go to essential workers, a few members of the community that, you know, that I'm listening to are saying, well, you know, is somebody gonna advocate for us to get it? Because, you know, for like you guys that are out on the road, you know, this, if you want the option to get the vaccine, should you be in that, because you are deemed as an essential worker, should you be a part of that priority group? So the Uber CEO, Dara, I always butcher his last name, so I won't say it, but Dara, he wrote a letter to all the governors in all the states, and so including Washington and Governor Inslee, just to say, hey, don't forget, gig workers have been and are essential workers, and they should be included in the next round after, you know, the first round of vaccinations. And then, you know, the community is talking about it even more. A lot of people, it seems, you know, they don't want it because they don't trust it, right? And then some people are like, no, let's get this. I get it. 70%. Let's go. Count me in. And then some people brought up, well, passengers might not want to ride with drivers that don't get vaccinated. So that's kind of an interesting thing. Like, it's all too early to say whether you're going to be able to keep your job or not. I mean, this isn't just for rideshare. This is just across the board, you know. If you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're working in government and you're part of this first group that's getting vaccinated right now as we speak. Anyway, I think that we are essential workers, you know, gig workers, and that we should be a part of the prioritized group. And I myself, if I was actually on the road, I would get vaccinated to be out on the road. So that's my two cents.
I will not purposely stick bacteria into my bloodstream. And the people who take flu shots every year, they always get sick. And now all of a sudden you rush through what, you know, in my opinion, COVID is another line of the flu. So you rush through and all of a sudden got this vaccination that may or may not work. But when they stick you with the needle, guarantee you will get sick because your immune system has to fight off the bacteria that just went into your bloodstream. So it's going to hurt because the needle going to your arm hurts if you ever get needles. I don't like shots, period. But think about it. You will get sick even though you got the COVID vaccination. You're still going to get sick because your immune system has to fight that bacteria. And there's no guarantee that you still won't, will not get COVID. Because people get flu shots, some of them still get the flu.
Okay.
I told you we're on opposite sides.
No, it's totally fine. That's all America right now is on opposite sides. Yeah. I would like to bring up right now that there is a difference between the flu shot and the vaccination that is out for it. So the interesting thing about it is the new vaccination that came out is a completely different vaccination. I don't know why I'm messing up that word so bad. I am one of those people that I stopped getting the flu shot because every time I got the flu shot, I would get the flu. And that's because what they do in the flu shot is they give you basically a dead flu cell and they shoot you with that. And they're hoping that that's the strand that's going to be out that year. Yeah. They do their calculations or whatever it is, their magic or whatever, and they give you a shot that they hope is the strand that's going to be affected that year. So you get a little bit of the flu. My body says, oh, I got the flu. I guess apparently I have the flu, and it just kind of goes into the whole thing. So I stopped getting the vaccination for the flu on that alone. Other people respond differently to it, and it's good for them. I am not going to say don't get the flu shot. But what I
we're
am going to
say. Doctors. We're not the CDC. We're just people sharing our opinions.
Right. That's all I am is just a. I am a comedian that shares opinions and stuff like that. But what I will say is the new vaccination that came out is a completely different thing than what has been used in the past. They are not injecting you with a dead cell of what would be the coronavirus. They are actually it's injecting you with an indicator that basically tells your body what to look for when that comes out. So it's slightly different. It's actually the interesting thing to me about it is it's absolutely brand new technology. I do have one insight though that's kind of interesting to me when coronavirus originally came out or whatever, when it was new on the market and everybody was really cool about it or whatever. When it first came out, I picked up from the airport a gentleman that was in charge of the COVID operations for Bill Gates. And I, so I got to go ask, cool. I got to ask him a bunch of questions as, a little bit of inside baseball stuff when all this stuff was originally coming out. So it allowed me to put a little bit more people at ease, but at the same time, it's basically tracking about what he said is going to happen. I assume most things will get back to normal within halfway through next year, even though Bill Gates says a year from now. I don't think American can do that. Yes, we are willing to do something for a certain amount of time, and everybody says, well, this is how it's going to be from now on. That's not how things happen. Already, I know people that, at the beginning, everybody was washing their hands like crazy. Even the people that use the bathroom and never washed their hands in their entire life, they were washing their hands. I see so many people nowadays that don't wash their hands, and I'm like, God, please, just wash your hands. at least do the bare minimum for me. Just do the bare minimum. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking a lot from you. I don't even want to have a conversation with you, but please do the bare minimum. Life goes like that, where we are very dead set on something, and then as time goes on, we get a lot more relaxed with it, and then life goes back to normal. And that's how it is.
Yeah. But
at least that's my view.
Here's the thing. The CDC and the government says, oh, wash your hands, but they closed all the public restrooms.
Right.
You can't even go in Starbucks to wash your hands.
Oh, I know. Okay. I said it was... I'll go for it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's backwards. It's misinformation on, you know, what to do, what to look out for and stuff like that. So you were talking about, what did the guy say that did the Bill Gates stuff? You finish your thought.
Oh, okay, so I picked him up from the airport, and he was like, I was like, hey, what are you doing in town? He's like, I'm on my way to this facility. I'm like, what are you going to do there? And he's like, well, I'm meeting with Bill Gates to talk about he was basically in charge of COVID, and he was one of their top scientists or whatever. So he said, basically, through the conversation, it was like, it is a serious thing, but it's going to affect a certain amount of people in a certain way. It's like what I've heard studies on recently, where they say that the people that are mostly affected by it are the people that are that already have health conditions right now, and a good 99% of people are not fully affected by it. You'll be affected in different ways. It's kind of along the lines of cancer, where everybody's body is different, so it affects people in different ways. And not to say that take any of this lightly. It is a serious thing, but at the same time, you have to live your life the way you need to live your life. Anyways, so what he told me in the car ride was basically within the year they'll have a vaccine, and then within a half a year, life will get back to normal because there will be a certain amount of people to get the vaccine, and then there's certain people that won't get the vaccine. But by the time it'll even out where, you know, because there's already so many people affected by it, there's already so many people that are going to get the vaccination, then there's already a certain amount of people that aren't going to get the vaccination. It equals out to everybody starting to go back to normal. There's still going to be people that are going to be freaking out wearing masks a year from now, and there's going to
be
me. Which is fine.
I'm going to tell you right now.
it's totally fine to live the life you want to by the what you feel comfortable with. I've been out there the entire time driving, dealing with people. I am not worried about any of this. I have asthma, and I have it really bad. But I talked to a respiratory therapist, a friend of mine, and he said, if you know how to control your asthma like normal, you can still control your asthma if you get COVID. And I said, okay, at that point, I'm fine. I've had the flu. I've had all these other things happen to me. I've had a lot of bad things happen to me in my life. I'll be fine. So, but I'm not going to tell you, oh, take off the mask and go to the store. No, the mask help people in a percentage, which I always think it's funny. Because people say, well, the mask is not for me to stop me from getting the virus. It's to stop somebody else from getting the virus. But if you do it both ways, if both people aren't affected by the mask, because neither of them, basically, it doesn't do anything. but it stops at a small percentage from your breath going, blah, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, not really. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm going to just like drop this in here. So my sister-in-law is on the board of part of the safety team in her union for hair and makeup. And she is somebody that I heard the word social distancing from her at the beginning of the pandemic. And she's very conservative about, you know, how she cleans and everything, because she, you know, the hair and makeup union is a small part is open, you know, movies and TV shows, as you see, like The Voice and everything like that. They're back on program. So there are shows that are working through the pandemic. With that being said, she's the most conservative one that I know. Everyone in the industry knows her for that. And then, you know, then there's the whole spectrum, right? It is about your comfort level. And it is about what I have noticed is it's about like the respect, you know, how much respect is owed to people. It's something that my girlfriend and I were talking about is it's about, I know I'm clean, but when you see my face and if I have a mask on, I'm respecting you and your airspace and saying like, you don't know, I'm not going to have to announce to every person that sees me, I'm negative, I'm COVID negative. But if you see my mask, you know, hey, even if I was positive or what, or if I was sick with something else, I'm respecting your airspace. You don't have to breathe what I breathe in. And if you wear a mask, then we're both protected. That's how I see it. What's interesting for me is, you know, I'm a very part-time gig worker. And the majority of my work are weddings, events. And come spring, summer, wedding season opens up. So for me, yes, the vaccine I think is responsible because I'm going to be exposed to a lot of people. Do I have concerns about the risk? Of course, there is a huge risk. I'm very nervous about it. I don't take it lightly. I am tracking, you know, how it's going on. But everything that I've done, like in my personal space, to quarantine and to be diligent with my you know bubble, I do it for, you know, out of respect for others because, you know, I do some movement, you know, around, and if I do contract it, you know, I'm going to be as I could nip it in the bud straight away. And if there's something that I could do, I would hate to have been given the opportunity to do something about making myself, healthier, you know, for the public that I have to face. And then if I didn't do it and got somebody sick, that thought is what propels me to say, to make the decisions that I make. Is that going to change? Yeah. I mean, everything's changing. If we'll see, you know, for me, we'll see how there's, I read horror stories all the time and I take a media with a grain of salt that, you know, people are having really adverse reactions and some paralysis in their face. And I don't want that, for myself. So I'm watching to see and, I mean, you know, I guess this is another conversation for another time. We'll see what happens.
Right.
You know, well, that's 6 months from now, David.
Yeah. Well, there's a big part of America that is kind of watching the vaccine to see if I am legend happens. And so we're just sitting with eyes all wide and like, all right, are they going to turn into zombies and that have to hide in the shadows type thing? Well, we'll see. And the interesting thing is that's the difficult thing about the situation is you're not going to know a lot of the long-term effects, not for another 10 or 15 years, and some of that stuff. And there's still a lot of things. But I think this is part of the step forward to moving to the next, you know, to making people, I guess, feel safe about everything.
Yeah, like I said, you know, like if it isn't the decision for you, hopefully enough of the people make the decision so that statistically overall we can slow down the spread of the virus. And at some point, probably not as quick as 6 months from now, I just want to put that out there, eradicate it. And James is right. You brought it up to David that it's a virus. It mutates. It will change. Updates to the vaccinations will inevitably happen. This is a part of our new future. But if I may, my last comment is just, we'll just look back on the Spanish flu. It took them 2-3 years. And when 2-3 years after that pandemic happened, it was like nothing happened. The CDC, was it the CDC or was it the WHO, was created, was created because of the Spanish flu pandemic. And so, you know, 100 years later, it's like we never went through a pandemic ever before. And
right. Now, it's ebb and flows. That's life. There's been pandemics before. We're not the first. We just have more technology, so we know more about it.
A lot of times, you know, and people, I hope they don't forget, you got to have somebody in the position to make the right decision at the right time, immediately, so that we don't have to deal with this again. I mean, it's makes no sense that you're supposed to be protecting Americans and you downplay it. And what is it? We're going on year two almost, and we're still dealing with this. People are still dying from it. That's absurd.
Yes. Yeah, there's that. It is a top-down thing in leadership. And so that is also something to look forward to. 2021 is a transition in leadership, and we'll see how that plays out. Gosh, I'm so sorry to bring up something else, but maybe as I usually do, David, a teaser to another thing. I heard that there's this other podcaster, the rideshare guy. A lot of rideshare drivers, gig workers listen to this podcast, YouTube. Recently, he had a woman, her name's Sharita, and she was for Prop 22, getting the information about Prop 22 out there in California. This led me to a conversation. I think she or somebody in her circle, whatever, actually got to sit and speak with Kamala Harris about gig work and, you know, earnings and sustainability and all of that. So, in the next, probably not 2021, because there's so much to recover from in this year. But moving forward with Kamala in the office and her being aware of this, it'll be interesting what is done on a federal level. That's going to be really interesting. So, you know, I told you, David, I'm lining up topics for you for the next couple years.
That's fine. I need a topic, and I like to be teased. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me feel like people want me.
But I know this is your time. I don't want to stop it, but I certainly have to like pop off. But I just want to say, David, thank you for having us again. James, thank you for coming on. It was really great to have this conversation with you and putting it out there. Everyone stay healthy, stay safe.
Right. And don't do drugs. Unless they're drugs you're supposed to take, then it's fine.
They're prescribed to you.
Unless they're prescribed to you. Don't take other people's drugs. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, that's good.
So is that COVID shot a drug? Is that COVID shot a drug?
I don't know. It depends on how you do it. Like if you drink it, then I don't think it's that good of a thing.
Well, that was a suggestion.
That's another topic.
That was a suggestion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To drink it? Yeah, to drink COVID?
You don't remember the top official said we should drink disinfectant?
No, but I do remember YouTube stars going, they were licking toilet seats saying, doing the COVID challenge. So please don't do that. That's gross.
No. That's the first time here. I'm appalled. Oh,
yeah. And on that note, thanks a lot, America. You're very disappointing in so many ways, but I appreciate you for that.
Yeah.
Hey. I appreciate the entertainment that I get to sit back and say, no, that's never happening. I don't do that. Don't do that. Thank you. So I'm going to wrap this up. Anything, James, anything else you want to say? I do appreciate you coming on the podcast and putting in your 2 cents, or actually it was probably around 7 or 8 cents. I do appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Healthy dose change.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was definitely fun. And I think it's always good to get more information out there, even if you don't know all the right information. When you start the conversation, somebody in the room might know the right information. So I'm hoping that people would ask more questions about, you know, what the legislator, the governor is doing in Seattle, you know, how it's going to affect their driving and their income, to get more involved in it, as well as not only the drivers, but the consumer as well. The more voices you have on something, then it gets heard. Thank you.
Yeah, the more people are aware of something, the more I find when I get new information, I have to think about it for a little bit, and then I can make a good decision on something. But if I just kind of go by what other people say about it and just kind of go with the flow with everybody else, it it never really sits well with me. So the more information I can get out there, the better. The different opinions is a good thing. I like hearing. I like that we had both different sides of the vaccination on here. And so anything else? One more time.
That's it, man. I'm going to have some lunch. Actually, I'm going to make some Cinnabons.
Oh. There you
go. A reason to smile again.
What? A reason to smile again? What? My face was not good enough? I appreciate that. So, all right. On that note, wait, were you going to say one more thing?
I was just going to say, no, the Cinnabons is a celebration of your smile, David, of course.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I will be expecting that. I will be expecting that in the mail any day soon.
So, any day.
Any day. Just like I tell Nate all the time. He's asked me when his first check is going to be in. And I said, it is in the mail. I'm not exactly sure where it's at. I just sent it out because I don't have his address.
Yeah.
So, so the check's in the mail, Nate. It's coming to you. I'm not exactly sure how much is on it because I just wrote out some numbers and sent it to you. So it could actually just be a post box. I don't know. Anyways, on that note, everybody, thank you again. And have a good rest of your day.
All right.
Wait, I never ended it like that. Anyways, all right.
Thank you for listening to Seriously Awkward and Friends. Please like, subscribe our Facebook page, and think about becoming a Patreon member. And listen next week.